whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, what are they saying about the Texans in Los Angeles? What are the Chargers defensive players specifically saying about the Texans offense? The more maligned side of the football for the Houston Texans this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's uptight about the offense.
Let's
right
do
now.
Let's give this a truth-o-meter.
Yes, let's run
let's
it through.
See, are they just saying the right things, or are they saying what they feel?
Yes, yeah. Let's run it through the truth car wash.
I know the Bosa brothers aren't afraid to say what they feel.
That's damn right.
So Nick more so than Joey. I think Nick's more vocal than Joey, but Joey'll say what he feels.
Ain't afraid to throw a hat on anything.
What's
like
Joey
that.
Bosa say?
Joey Bosa was asked about facing the Texans' offensive line.
Yeah, I think, I have confidence in us against anybody. They have a really good O-line, a great quarterback that can move really well and make throws all over the field. So it's going to be a serious challenge for us, but I think we're excited about it. Obviously, their left tackle, Tunsil, is all pro, and he's going to be a great challenge, like I said. So I think it's really on us to contain this quarterback and impact him as much as we can.
Okay. Bosa's got a Bregman-like ability to make anything he says sound like he's bored. You know, like Bregman's yeah. always like that. So if you don't know Bregman, you hear him talking, you're like, oh my God, is he throwing shade? That's just the way Bosa talks.
Yeah, I was going to tell the audience that I need a fifth reason for 5 reasons I hate you.
Yeah.
You and I have 4 right now. This is a hard team to hate. Like, hate. We'll work up enough hate for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I need a fifth one. If you want to text in, 713-572-4610. And if you want to, you can. But that cut may have given me my 5th reason.
That you hate him because of that?
Yeah.
I was starting to hate him. The first time I listened to it, I'm like, is he not going to mention the offensive tackles by name at least? Because that's definitely just standard saying the right thing. But he did mention Tunsil. He conspicuously left out Blake Fisher. Which was the accurate thing to do. But he didn't say, yeah, Khalil and I are going to be fighting each other on the sideline for who gets the lineup over Fisher.
Okay, I think, if I had to guess, I would think in Los Angeles right now, Charger fans are concerned about the matchup of Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. against their 2 tackles, Slater and Joe Alt. And Slater and Joe Alt are actual really good tackles.
Yeah, I don't think they're as worried about it. I think they're, that's a big matchup, but it's not like they're worried about that matchup.
I think Texan fans have a reason to be worried about the Mac, Bosa, particularly with Blake Fisher.
Well,
on
the
that
fact,
side.
Yeah, just because of the right side of the line.
Yeah.
Right. If it were not, and that's where I feel better about this offensive line as a whole with Titus Howard at left guard, because I think they can actually, there's something to work with there.
Yeah.
They might be able to do some things in the run game that they haven't been able to do previously. But the Blake Fisher at right tackle versus 2 veteran savvy defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, because Blake Fisher's had some really good moments. He's shown a lot of promise, but he still has a lot of moments where like, okay, we're going to have to iron that out of his game. These guys have enough film on Blake Fisher to know how to exploit that. So that's the big one to watch.
Yep. So that's Bosa.
But I think it was genuine praise of Tunsil. You know, respects
yes.
him as a pass blocker, all that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But probably not a lot of respect for Blake Fisher.
The totality. Yeah, So that was Joey Bosa. Derwin James. We got a couple Derwin James here. Here's Derwin James on facing a quarterback like C.J. Stroud with a very quick release.
Man, we just got to get in our spots. And like I said, we got to know where all his guys at. And D-line got to do a good job getting their hands up. And I feel like we got to just do a good job rushing them. And it got to be a complete team defensive effort, you know, to slow these guys down. They got a lot of playmakers.
Okay. He said that about every single offense he's faced this
Probably.
Year.
That
guessing.
Was more like the recipe as opposed to C.J.
That's disrespect, Derwin. What he would have tamped down and not said because he didn't want to get bulletin board material.
Yeah,
was
sorry.
Like,
thanks for giving the same answer you gave about Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah. Exactly.
No, man, like this takes a special recipe to shut down CJ.
What he didn't say was, have you seen some of the safety and corner blitzes versus this team?
Kidding. No, you're right.
All we got to do is try to force them into the. We need to force them into the protection we want to see, and then I'm coming like a. Like a bat out of hell towards C.J. Stroud. He's very good at the blitzing.
All right, here's one. Derwin James. Tyler Milner, who cut up this audio, highlighted in green after this cut, put LOL. Here is Derwin James when asked about by a media member in Los Angeles, asked about slowing down Dalton Schultz.
Maximum team effort. He's another guy that can make plays with the ball in his hands, and it don't matter what we've been doing this whole season. All that matters what we do forward, and I can't wait, man, to get out there and compete against this team.
Oh yeah, okay, that's just standard boilerplate everything. And
tip
just
of the hat to the question.
I don't know if he even knows Dalton Schultz's name or what position he plays. I mean, he obviously does, but yeah, it's a weird question to ask, I guess, about just it's not like Dalton Schultz is first and foremost in people's minds when they look at the Texans. They're like, that's the guy you got to put a lid on.
Well, and I don't think he's had a great year either.
Yeah,
I know he got to kind of the benchmarks that ended up getting him paid. Like, he
no, that's what I'm talking about specifically this year. If it was the last year's version of Dalton Schultz, it would have been a more appropriate question.
It'd have been a longer answer, and it would have been more about Dalton Schultz.
This year, there's no need for a lid. You leave the lid open all day long.
Yeah.
The biggest thing you have to worry about is he's going to spoil in the sun. He's
right.
Not going to jump out of it.
It's recalibrated. You know, this season's kind of recalibrated, like the statistical barometers, because Dalton Schultz, when they signed Dalton Schultz here to that 1 year deal before the long term deal they gave him, the big selling point on Dalton Schultz is like, man, they're getting a guy on the cheap who's one of four tight ends who in the last, whatever it was, three seasons going into that, had at least 50 catches and 500 yards. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that shows some consistency. That's really good. This year, he eclipsed both of those marks again, and I don't feel like he had a great year this year.
Eclipsed which marks?
50 catches and 500 yards receiving.
Yeah, okay, so he eclipsed those marks, but it's important to point out that this was his worst season as a pro. Other than, his first 2 years, he didn't play a whole bunch, but since he became a full-time starter in 2020, it's his worst year in touchdowns, in yardage, in total receptions. It was his worst year as a pro.
Yeah, what I'm saying, like, I was sold on the 50 and 500 thing when they signed him, and now I'm like, okay, well, those barriers don't really mean that much to me anymore.
Yeah, when nobody else is out there or anything, and especially didn't take advantage of it when teams were trying to take the top
drops
off the offense.
He drops this year.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's been running routes kind of sheepishly at times.
Yeah,
and he's
he looks
not
like
the
he's
first
lost
option.
All interest in actually blocking or even being a speed bump at times.
Yeah, I wish that wasn't the case because they paid him a lot of money. Okay,
he's into gaming.
He's in the game.
I've got a natural, this is no offense to gamers out there, but when it comes to my football players, this goes back in the early days of the Texans when there was a year in which the offensive linemen were big into Halo, and they would play Halo a lot. To the point where they were playing Halo in the lounge
at the
before
building.
Games at times.
Before games?
Yeah, so Gary Walker stole the PlayStation.
That sounds that's on brand.
Walker got fed up.
Halo was on Xbox. So.
Xbox, sorry, stole the Xbox, and which was funny as hell.
Ben never talks. Took exception to that.
Yeah, it was the only time we got any life out of the offensive line was after Gary stole the Xbox. We're like, oh, these guys got something to be angry about now. All right.
Oh, what could we steal from this offensive line to get them going? The Texans.
Oh, definitely, like their gift cards to Nordstrom
their
or something.
Their fragrances.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Their fragrances, yeah, their lotions.
Their Instagram passwords.
Yeah.
Hey, I've turned a page. I've sold myself, and now I am committed to selling to Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard. Look, man, you guys can be a dynamic duo at left tackle and left guard. And I think Laremy, to his credit, I think has genuinely tried to change his game this year for the better, to be a more complete offensive tackle. Like, my biggest hang up with him has always been, yes, he's a brilliant pass protector, but when it comes to run blocking and some of the other things like not false starting, he's not on the same level as a Trent Williams or a Penei Sewell or guys like that. He's made an obvious effort to be a more complete player this year. Since he cleaned up the false starts, I'm willing to ignore last week because of Davis Mills snap count, all that.
Sure.
He's made an effort, and it doesn't happen immediately mid season like that. Titus Howard is the one that I really want him to embrace being a guard, because I think he could be, if he embraced the challenge, I think he could be a really good guard. I don't think he has fully embraced it, because every time any player or coach gets up and talks about it, they're like, yeah, boy, you know, he's a tackle, but we love that he's playing guard. Oh, and we're so grateful. We're so grateful.
And
I think he needs to understand that, no, dude, you could be an awesome guard.
Right.
Like, embrace it, and you're next to your buddy there. You know?
You're right. You guys are right next to each other.
You can trade coupons and everything.
Oh, you can sit there and whisper to each other.
Talk about which filter to use
right
on
before the play. Right. Can I borrow your skinny jeans? No, I'll borrow your skinny jeans.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. It's also what's best for the team, possibly.
Right.
Not just Saturday, but I'm talking
especially
about next
if Blake
year.
Fisher comes along, you know?
Yeah, like, and Nick said it when we asked him about it on Wednesday. One of the big things he brought up was it's about getting our five best offensive linemen on the field. The fact of the matter is you could go into next season with your five best offensive linemen being a five that includes Laremy Tunsil, Blake Fisher, and Titus Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't play three tackles.
Right.
You know? And to your point, Titus is built for it. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Text message. Doesn't matter, Sean. This is the real national championship game tonight. Hook 'em. That was the third place game last night. Texas and Ohio State are both superior to Dame and Penn State. LOL. Okay, that's a little like calling me Pendy. People calling Notre Dame Dame.
A big insult in the 50s. If you're basically calling you a gal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why not call me a broad?
Or a broad. Yeah. You're a dame.
I'll remind you, there was a texter. I forget who it was. Remember the texter last week that was like, oh, you beat Georgia with a backup quarterback.
Mm.
And then had the nerve to text in afterwards. I forget who it was. Sorry, texter. You didn't rent that much space in my brain. Who said, that's okay. You'll come in on Friday next week and apologize after Notre Dame loses to Penn State.
Yeah.
No apology necessary, whoever the hell you were. I almost cursed just now. Whoever the hell you were.
All right, now I'm invested in Texas winning this.
Are you?
Tonight. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to see Texas versus Notre Dame. I want to see you reviled and despised by our entire listeners. Well, a good chunk
are
of our
sure
listenership.
Are you sure you want that? It's our show.
Yeah, but they'll be like, no, because then I'll see posts on social media like, oh, Seth's awesome, but if you could get rid of that clown Pendergast.
To the degree where they're still listening to the show, but
yeah,
they hate me.
They hate listening to you.
I got you.
They want me to shut you down.
Okay.
Shut you down.
This is the most uninspiring group of teams vying for a national championship. No great teams, all solid, very good teams, but one gets to be a real deal champion forever. I think you better get used to it. This NIL has leveled the playing field. I'm not, you know, there are still levels within college football, to be sure. I think this Final Four is an example of that. These are four blue blood programs: Penn State, Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame.
Yeah. And look, hey,
but get used to there not being these super teams anymore.
Nick Saban's not walking through that door. I don't think he might be the commissioner of the NCAA if James Franklin has his way.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer ain't grinding his way through that door. Yeah. You're not gonna be waltzing
grinding
in that door
stuff.
Looking for co-workers to sit on his lap. Yeah.
Do you find this group uninspiring, or are you enjoying this?
I'm enjoying this round of the playoffs.
I feel like
even
you're the
though
right
it's only
person
half
to ask, because you, like, you don't have a dog
in
the fight.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, like Cornell wasn't in the conversation this year.
Not this year.
Although we can now go to the FCS National Championship.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're allowed now. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They used to shut football down in
there. Yeah, like every sport except football was allowed to compete for national championships.
You were studying.
The league was,
so hard.
That was the whole thing. No, we want our dumbest athletes to be true student athletes. Which is actually, okay, that makes a good point. Now that I think about it. Yeah, the cross-country team with their 4.0 team GPA.
Yeah.
Let them go travel during finals.
Yes.
Football players, not so much.
We got a couple texts here. You just told a great anecdote about former running backs coach for the Texans.
Chick Harris,
who was a real inspiration to you and somebody you leaned on for advice a lot.
Yeah,
you mentioned he's in hospice. A couple people point out he actually passed away a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, I knew that he was, so some total of that story is, say what you want to say to people in life when you can. Like now,
today,
during this commercial break.
Yes.
Because this happened to a couple of coaches of mine. John Pease, my old defensive line coach. We had a good friendship and everything, but there's always something like I wanted to talk to him about and just tell him how grateful I was for him, for it. And I didn't. I don't know why or for whatever reason. I just didn't get around to it. And then he passed away. Likewise with Chick Harris. He knows how I feel about him. And it wasn't like we were close friends or anything. He wasn't my position coach or anything.
Some people like hearing
stuff
like that.
He's the kind of guy that had lots of nice people. He was surrounded by his family when he passed away. But I wish I had told him what I said on air. To people that didn't know him at all. I wish I had said that to him personally.
Well, it's cool that it's a great anecdote. It's thoughts and prayers to his family.
Call your grandma 3 minutes from now. Whenever Sean's done,
do it before
peddling
five,
whatever he's peddling.
Do it before Five Reasons I Hate You.
Yeah,
I don't want you to
do that. Get it out of your heart,
grandma, in that frame of mind.
Yeah.
Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. Schefter just leaked out a little earlier. I saw the tweet got pushed to my phone. They are starting to announce who some of the teams are that are going to be playing overseas next year. And apparently, I got to find the tweet, but apparently Jacksonville, Cleveland, and the Jets are going to be hosting games over in London.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if the Texans are getting any of those
games
next year.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, I thought you were going to announce the opponent.
No. Okay. Just that they usually announce who the home teams are first.
An overseas trip for the Texans. Which, when was the last time they went overseas?
London, 2019, against the Jags.
And they beat the Jags
26-3. They beat them like a drum. Carlos Hyde had like 160 yards rushing that day.
So London's been good to us.
1-0.
Okay, let's do that.
You guys never went overseas when you were a player.
No. We hated it. We hated the rest of the world.
Well, and they didn't go overseas nearly as much as they do. Now you got.
I don't think they ever did.
Got,
I remember.
You got. I think they've been going to London for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I want to go to. I got to get me some of that Brazil action. I want to go down and.
What about Germany?
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah, that'd be a rough. Whoo! It'd be rough to. Be rough to make it through that week. That's, man.
It's a little like Super Bowl in the French Quarter.
You go order a small beer in a beer hall, and they bring you a stein the size of a coffin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My brother, my friend Don Davey, who a teammate of mine in Jacksonville, he does triathlons, and he was over there in Germany for a triathlon, and his wife was with him, pregnant at the time. And the people that he was with, the Germans that he was with, as they were out drinking in a beer hall, were like roundly ridiculing her for being the non-drinker.
Oh, really?
She's like, well,
they
I'm
were shaming her.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Whereas like at that point, and I don't know how it is over there now in Germany now, but at that point, you know, a couple decades ago, it was kind of like the limit for pregnant women is I don't know.
I feel like that's
dry. Three beers.
Yeah. I feel like that would hit different in 2025 for some reason.
I don't know in Germany if it would or not.
Yeah, maybe. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Five Reasons I Hate You, Chargers edition. This was a tough one to cobble together for us here, but I think we're going to do it. We'll do it in the next segment. Five Reasons I Hate You.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, great to be with you on a... on a Football Friday, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, and we'll continue to dig into the Chargers and the Texans from a football perspective as we roll up. Seth is going to give you his prediction for the game in the 9 o'clock hour, as he always does. I gave mine a little bit earlier. I got the Texans 23-20 in this game, but we'll for those of you who missed it earlier in the show, we'll keep digging into the matchups here. But let's get into this now. Five Reasons I Hate You. This was not an easy one. As you pointed out this week, Seth, you kind of laid the groundwork on this. Like, hey, man, it is kind of hard to find reasons to truly hate the Chargers.
I think a lack of familiarity.
Lack
of
history.
Hasn't been a common matchup. Yeah. There's always the Chargers have been a team and a franchise that always, they feel so cursed, and it doesn't affect us directly as much that you almost feel bad for them.
And it seems like we only play them when the Texans... get the AFC West in the rotation. It's not like, remember back in the day when the Texans were winning divisions on the regular and they had to play the Patriots every single year? It just seems like the Chargers and the Texans have never really been in sync with each other. Like when the Texans have been bad, the Chargers have been good and vice versa.
There was a time in my life where I could have seen hating Jim Harbaugh, but now at this stage in his life especially, he just seems like the uncle I wish I had.
Yeah.
You know, well, actually, I have an uncle kind of like him, and I would add him to the mix. He's just a delightful old kind of eccentric old man.
I hate saying it because he's a Michigan guy. I'm wired not to like Michigan people.
He won a national championship in this stadium.
That's right. That was here last year, wasn't it? Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's a good memory, Sean.
Thanks.
Sorry to really
preach.
Deep cut there, yeah.
Preach. So let's get into this. Five Reasons I Hate You. Number five. J.K. Dobbins is their starting tailback. Remember that summit meeting of running backs a couple years ago where they all got together on a Zoom call and bitched and moaned about how they don't get paid enough money?
Yeah.
Through no fault of anything but the market.
Right.
You know, like.
Right. Yeah. Like they were going to do something about it. I don't know. Like form a mini guild or something.
Right. And as it turns out, running backs are still underpaid. It accomplished nothing. But here's why I hate J.K. Dobbins. He was on that call.
Yeah.
He kind of like weaseled his way onto that. That call had like Derrick Henry. High level backs.
It was such a powerful call that Barkley like 24 hours later signed a deal for less than people thought he should have signed.
Real convincing.
They added a little something to the franchise.
That's
tag
right.
Somehow.
Yeah, they sprinkled
they
some
juiced
sugar
it up a little bit.
Yeah, he gave him like an extra 900.
Dobbins would go on to have 8 carries for 22 yards in that season.
And Dobbins would go on to sign a 1-year, $1.6 million deal with the Chargers this offseason. Mm-hmm. Someone's got a pretty high opinion. He was on that call after missing 26 out of 34 games. He missed the entire 2021 season.
Yeah.
And yet he thought he should have been on that call with all the elite running backs. I would hope they like muted him.
He's an Ohio State guy, too.
He is an Ohio State guy. Good job, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, reason 5A to hate. J.K. Dobbins.
I think he's from Houston, though, too.
He is from Texas.
Crap. So you're doing that thing already. There's even more listeners are going to hate you now.
Okay, good. That's what you were hoping for.
That's right.
Yeah.
We want J.K. Dobbins.
In this segment,
show the Chargers who J.K. Dobbins really is.
Damn right.
That's right.
All right, number 4. Now, J.K. Dobbins a little banged up. Gus Edwards has been a little banged up, the running backs. Their solution was to sign Ezekiel Elliott to get a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
I was going to be programmed to hate whatever team picked up Ezekiel Elliott because I thought the reason the Cowboys cut him was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Like, we would really like to give Zeke a chance to hook up with a contender. So that beloved Ezekiel Elliott around the league. Who had a lot of issues early on in his career.
We want him to go be lifting up young ladies' shirts. Of course, he didn't do that in Dallas. Or at least he didn't get caught on film doing that.
Where was he?
He was at some sort of festival. In Tampa. He was at like a Gasparilla thing or something.
Okay. I'm just not a big Ezekiel Elliott fan. So if they're going to add a player I don't like, then I don't like them.
Yeah.
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 So, we're going to let him go so he can sign on with a contender. Yeah, because you know what? Everybody's talking about the last thing that Ezekiel Elliott needs to put the cherry on top of the sundae for a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, this will be
it'll
be the big emotional teary. Like they'll have a 7-minute piece
up on the dais passing the Lombardi Trophy around. The owner gets up there and talks. The head coach gets up there, and then they're looking around. Where's Zeke? So you come up here and talk about
there's
winning.
There's nothing that makes
he's in street
me
clothes.
Nothing that makes me angrier in life than over-the-top sentimentality.
Yes.
Man, remember Boomer Esiason and Frank Reich? Like, hey, did you guys know they were college roommates? Like, over and over again?
Yeah.
Go die already.
Thank you, Seth.
So, Ezekiel Elliott, who's been a Charger for all of, what, 4 calendar days?
and is a
practice squad member of the Chargers. Yeah, the number 4 reason to hate the Chargers.
I love you using calendars and adjective in front of days. Calendar days. All right, number 3.
It's not like a Jupiter day or something.
Number three. If you go look this up, their offensive coaching staff is like a land of misfit former Texan coaching toys.
Yeah.
Andy Bischoff is their tight end coach.
Who once proclaimed Jeff Driscoll the most athletic running quarterback in the league other than Lamar Jackson.
He said that. As a Texans coach, he said that. Mike Devlin, much maligned offensive line coach under Bill O'Brien, he's their offensive line coach.
They've got some pretty good offensive linemen. Okay.
Oh, good. It's nice that he gave him good groceries. Greg Roman is a former Texans coach.
Yeah, Greg Roman.
He's their OC.
He was David Carr's first quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Or no, excuse me. He wasn't his first quarterback's coach. He was a quarterback's coach.
He was the tight ends coach, then the quarterback's
coach. He started off as like a quality control guy. Okay. I want to say his first NFL job was in Houston. He was really young. Kind of worked his way up the quarterback's coach.
Okay.
But he was never offensive coordinator or anything.
No, not here.
But he is one former Texan who's still there. But then the last guy, who is also a quarterback's coach now in Los Angeles, but who last year worked with C.J. Stroud, Shane Day.
Yep.
Shane Day's the guy nobody's talking about that might be the biggest factor in this game.
Ooh.
Shane Day.
That's a take.
Who treacherously left Houston to go to take a better job, as a quarterback's coach. He was a senior offensive advisor assistant last year working with C.J. Stroud. But his inside intel on what makes C.J. tick, I'm not taking that lightly.
I think he's not either.
He knows what C.J. likes, doesn't like, what makes him uncomfortable.
And if he spills the beans, I hate him.
Yes.
For the purposes of this segment.
He's betrayed C.J.'s trust.
Now, number 2 here is, this is you here. You put this in here.
Yeah.
You've been interacting with Charger fans way more than I have.
Just because of my YouTube channel.
Because of your YouTube channel. Yeah,
that brings in, people from all over, and the algorithm brings a lot of Chargers fans.
Yeah.
This is how This is how they're starting to get a little bit lunatic fringe, the perceived disrespect for Justin Herbert. Because I did the video specifically pointing out how good Justin Herbert was and that he's better than the numbers would suggest for all these various reasons. You know, the video is replete with nothing but Justin Herbert highlights and one of his interceptions, I think, just to throw in and talk about how few interceptions he's thrown, how hard it is to turn the ball over. And I was greeted when I checked the comments on that video with all these psychotic Chargers fans who are angrily basically restating the exact same thing I'd said, but acting like I had said the opposite. Things like, oh, you guys all say that he hasn't played a tough enough schedule. Yeah. Oh, you want to say he's a game manager. No, no, I specifically said he's not a game manager. Yeah. He's had to manage the game.
This is some hate.
They're psychotic.
Okay.
They are psychotic.
I'll be honest, I'm shocked they had fans.
They've been around a long time.
I guess some of the San Diego people still like travel up to LA to go see
them. Yeah, I think there's probably a lot of LA that probably like Mets fans in New York. They're kind of like, I'm going to like the team that is opposite of the. A lot of the fans in LA grew up not liking the Rams.
Right.
So they have that memory too, you know? So
there you go.
they want to root for somebody other than the Rams.
So you've grown a big lather and a hatred for Charger fans over the last
few years. Yeah, I'm going to take that 5% of psychotic morons and just assume that the 100% of them feel
like
that way. Yes.
All right, reason number
including the ones who are actually like very cordial in the comments.
Probably will come back to your
people that said like, "You know what? I'm a Chargers fan, but this is great
this
analysis."
Is good stuff. And
I replied, "Go die."
Yeah. And I like this Seth Payne guy.
Yeah.
Go die. all right. I'm going to credit a texter with this one here. And I got to find the text. But it basically, here we go. This is 979 on the text page for five reasons. Smack off history on the Jim Rome show. Multi-time champion, which would be me, versus all-time bad call. A lot of people don't know this. Back when Jim Harbaugh was a player in 1998, he used to go on the Jim Rome show quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great interview, as you can probably imagine. He asked one year to be in 1998, my first year in the Smack Off, actually. He asked for entry into the Smack Off, and Jim Rome let him into the Smack Off. He said, "Yeah, Jim, you're in. I'm going to put you in. You get an athlete, pro athlete exemption."
Yeah.
Hoping that Jim Harbaugh would come in and do what you need to do on the Smack Off, which, for those who don't know, on the Jim Rome show, the Smack Off is where you come in and you just, like, he invites the best callers, and you come in and you run your mouth for 3 or 4 minutes. About whatever topics you want to, and then he and his staff pick a top 10 and the winner.
For those of you who don't know, Sean T. Pendergast was a five-time champion.
Winner. Yep.
Back then known as Sean the Cablin Asian.
That's right. So so Jim Harbaugh in 1998 called into the Smack-Off. Here's what it sounded like.
Joined by our only professional athlete in this year's field. He was on the show. He's a good jungle guy. He's respected in the jungle. He asked into the Smack-Off. That's all I need to hear. Needed to hear at that point. He's in Orlando, Baltimore Raven, Jim Harbaugh. Jim, it is great to have you in the Smack-Off.
Romy, it's good to be on the Smack-Off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and it's a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind on their child support payments like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
Hang on.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for your input. Went to the child support card, went to the Harmony card. All right.
Yo, boy.
Nice job, Jim.
Hang on, the reaction's great.
I'm going to try and do my best to cover that up, but I don't think I'm going to have a prayer.
Okay, there you go. Worst Smack-Off call of all time.
I wonder
time.
If Harbaugh had something prepared and then, I don't want to say chickened out, but just thought better of it at the last moment.
Maybe.
It was like, I'm an NFL quarterback. I really don't like. I don't need to be doing this. I don't need to be. I bet he had a legal pad full of some good stuff.
Okay.
He listened to the show. He knows what it's all about.
Then he needed to be the guy that just didn't show up to the party that he RSVP'd to, as opposed to the person that shows up with COVID to the party.
I think I hate Jim Harbaugh. I think I hate him.
Yes.
Because it wasn't even... It's the disrespect.
Dude.
He disrespected
the smack off.
The institution.
Of the smack off.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're invited. It's like being invited to eat with the president and showing up and being like, I don't like any of your policies anyway, and this food sucks.
It is funny to go back and listen to old calls.
That's
like
any
that.
Generic president, everybody, before you get triggered.
Right. It's not,
this
nobody.
President's a game manager, whatever. Yeah.
It is funny to go back and listen to those calls sometimes because they are a bit of a time capsule. Like when he said, it's peace and harmony, like Fuzzy and Tiger playing at the Masters.
Yeah.
That was a big thing in 1998 when Fuzzy made those racially insensitive comments.
Yeah. So that was after that. I couldn't remember if maybe there was a moment leading up to it where that was the battle they were going into and it was all about golf or something.
Oh, it was all about the comments. Yeah, it was all about the comments. So there you go. Number one reason, Jim Harbaugh disrespected the smack off.
He did at least, so he did do two kind of smack off type things.
A little bit.
He brought up the Fuzzy Zeller thing.
And then he
talked trash about, who was it?
Sean in Syracuse. It was actually John in Syracuse.
Oh, I got excited when I heard Sean.
I did too. During that day, I got excited.
Oh, I bet you were. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
I mean, the thing is, I wasn't even divorced yet. There would have been a time 9 years later where he would have been accurate. Like, yeah, make your child support payments.
How would you even, back in the day, I was about to say you could have recorded it on your phone, but obviously not. You had your boombox.
I recorded it on tape.
Yeah.
I have cassettes. Yeah. Of the smack off back then, yeah. Oh,
did you have a tape recorder put up to the boombox, or were you rich enough to actually record?
Rich enough.
Did you have soft eject?
I did.
Ooh,
I did.
Man, soft eject.
I was a working man at that point.
Eject was one of the least heralded yet most innovative, important things that we've ever invented.
Yeah,
there was nothing like soft. The first time you got soft eject, I was like, this is what the rich folks live like, man. Yeah, it's like having a bidet for your cassette tape.
We will circle.
They used to say. That was the advertising slogan.
Well, for the bidet.
It's like a bidet for your cassette tape.
We'll circle back to the Texans at the top of the hour. What do we think the shelf life is for Bill Belichick at the University of North Carolina? There's a thou doth protest too much that I want to play in the next segment that I found kind of funny. Yeah, we will get to that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, there were some rumblings earlier this week.
Is it Shaboozy?
It's not. I like Shaboozy. There were some rumblings earlier this week that Bill Belichick, 1 month after taking, not even a month after taking the North Carolina job, would be going back to the NFL. Could be going back to the NFL.
He has a buyout in his contract It's $10 million.
It's $10 million if he leaves to go back to the NFL
before
in June of this year.
Right.
Having coached a game at North Carolina.
The initial knee-jerk response, which is accurate, is, all right, well, who's going to be hiring a coach in June or July of 2025? Yeah. That's what I thought to myself. And then I remembered, oh, Jerry Jones is still in charge of the Cowboys. You know, like Jerry Jones, nobody kicks the can down the road like Jerry Jones. He's getting better and better at it or worse and worse at it as he gets older. I could somebody like Jerry Jones hiring Bill Belichick in July. Now, he could have hired Bill Belichick, but he was still waiting to make his decision on Mike McCarthy, which still hasn't been made yet. We got another few days before Mike McCarthy's even allowed to interview.
The 14th is the date that he's out from underneath his, what I guess the equivalent of a non-compete.
Yeah, we'll know if he's allowed to interview with other places after January 14th.
Yep.
So there's still speculation that, all right, man, is he long for college football?
Well, and he and Brady reportedly had talked recently.
It sounds like Brady reached out to Belichick.
Yeah.
And Belichick demurred.
And I don't even, it's not even clear if there was any sort of talk about him coming to coach the Raiders, or if it could have been Brady just going, hey, we're about to do this coaching search. I value your opinion.
I like you more than Corn Fairy.
Yes. Good way. Corn Fairy's a placement service. Yes. It's a
coaching search firm that seems like a bunch of old haggard dudes sitting around a room trying to get their buddies' jobs.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. Search firm. Here's Mike Lombardi, who is Bill Belichick's GM at the University of North Carolina.
And former podcast co-host.
I bet
they're still doing it, though, given recruiting.
Oh, yeah. You got to have those podcasts out there. Been with Belichick before with the Patriots.
Has blocked Seth Payne on Twitter.
Add that to the list of accolades. Here's Mike Lombardi. After all the smoke was coming up about Belichick possibly going back to the NFL, here's Lombardi on the McAfee Show.
Bill Belichick committed North Carolina. He committed it to me. He committed it to the university. There's been no conversation about anything. And we drive from this office here, is this football field behind me, to where we're staying. We commute each day together, and we both talk about how messed up the NFL is and how thankful we're in college football.
Is that
because
real?
We're shaking our heads.
Okay. One thing that I like to picture when he said we commute,
yeah.
I definitely like to picture it being Lombardi driving.
It's definitely Lombardi
driving. And Belichick sitting in the back seat.
Ah, this is kind of a metaphor for Lombardi's career.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely picture that. I like that Lombardi thinks that Belichick, that he's not above lying to everybody about whether he would stay at the University of North Carolina.
I love thinking that Lombardi's aware of that. I mean, Lombardi is a really smart guy. Mm-hmm. He says weird things sometimes, but he is really smart. Lombardi also knows that this is exactly what any university employee or coach or the newfangled position of college GM would say. Whether they're leaving or not, they're going to say, as we see every year Texas A&M baseball or any other college sport, I'm here for life. Oh, I got tattoos on my butt. Can we see them? No, they're there. Just trust me.
Yep.
Yeah. You're a UNC employee telling me that your coach is going to stay.
Is staying.
Got it.
While you're in the middle of recruiting
season. Believe you, buddy. No way. I've never been lied to in that way, Tom Herman. Yeah, right. Whatever. Right. Whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I found that kind of funny. Bill O'Brien did an interview.
I think Belichick, just given the football historian he is and everything, and that this might not have been on his bucket list, and yet it's something that I bet really intrigues him as a challenge later in life, and maybe reinvent himself a little bit just for his own sake.
Sure.
It's a different challenge in his face.
But you remember the story was Belichick reached out to the Jets during the second half of the season after they had fired Robert Saleh.
Yeah, he wasn't too good for the messed up NFL several months ago.
And the Jets said, no thanks. Yeah. And I could understand that because Belichick said a lot of things about
He personally insulted the owner just like a month prior.
Yeah, it's an acrimonious relationship to begin with. But the reports are Belichick, December 11th, he goes and he takes the job at North Carolina. And now all of a sudden he's had NFL teams reaching out to him, and it's almost like the NFL is like, hey, buddy, we didn't even know you were looking to get back into coaching.
It's classic dating dynamic.
Yeah.
When you're available, I didn't want you, but now that you're taken.
Yes. Yes.
Very chick-like by these NFL teams. I didn't think that guy was that good looking, but look at him standing next to that hot girl. Ooh, he's got something about him.
Well, exactly.
I used that to great effect. I had a lot of hot platonic friends in college. He's like, hey, I'm just going to stand next to you for a while, okay? Oh, look at that.
Platonic friends.
Kids, get yourself. Listen, maybe you're stuck in the friend zone.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Just use it. If you got a hot friend, other girls look at you as somebody that's got, as long if they don't know that you're stuck in the friend zone, they see you in a bar at a party or something, they're like, oh, why is he hanging out next to that hot girl?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
There's no maybe about it. What the hell are you talking about? This is like the 11th commandment.
There's a couple of friend zones from back in college where I'm like, man, I probably could have,
Right, but that's not what I'm talking about. See, you're still thinking too linearly, Sean.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Maybe you loved the girl, maybe you didn't, whatever.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, don't worry about her.
Okay.
And then the other, what else happens?
What happens?
Once you stop worrying about being in the friend zone,
that's true.
That side piece that you have, they also all of a sudden they become attracted.
You're right.
But you can't fake it.
Yeah.
It's got to be genuine. You got to genuinely not care about her. And then all of a sudden she's going to, because then, this is how it goes. Like almost to a T. You're standing next to your hot friend who's a girl. Other girls in the bar are looking at you like, oh, wow, who's this guy? And maybe you end up forming a relationship with one of these other girls.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the girl ahead of you in the friend zone, because you genuinely look at her as a friend.
Right.
The way guys do it, it's never quite that simple. But because you're not obsessed with her, all of a sudden she's like, boy, if I could just find a guy like him or him.
Or
wait, but he's taken.
Right.
But she's a slut. Yeah.
Or you pay $1,000 to the hottest girl in school after someone spills wine on her suede jacket
because
she has to get her mom's jacket dry cleaned, and then you go on a few dates with her, and then all the hot chicks think there's something about you because I can't believe Cindy Mancini is dating him. Does that sound like the plot for Can't Buy Me Love?
Yeah, that's exactly the dynamic that Can't Buy Me Love was based on.
Yeah, man.
Except for the payment part.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
Oh, no, he paid, well, $1,000.
No, I'm saying the dynamic I'm talking about is the exact same thing.
Yeah, without
the payment.
Yeah, I'm just saying if you just feel like cutting to the chase and if you're really rich, just pay a grand. Yeah.
Why don't you pay $2,000 and have sex with
paying
her?
Paying a grand.
That's what I did. Why do you think I worked so hard on the farm? I didn't work those 12-hour days for go buy popsicles.
Can't you see some rich kid like right now in their parents' car though, driving around like taking notes on what you're saying? Like yeah. And you look and they go, I don't know, that looks like a lot of work. Mom, can I have $1,000?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna pay Jennifer over here and
the main lesson
stand
too,
next to me.
Whether it's that dynamic or else, like the genuine thing is kids, young men. There's a reason that women love cats. It's because cats are unavailable, and they only give you their attention when they feel like it. So, like, without being a D-bag about it, I'm not saying to be a jerk, but there's a certain, you got to detach yourself from the desire. If you can somehow quell that desire within you, it makes you much more attractive to women.
Yes.
I told you the story of me and Brandy. Brandy walked in. I was at a birthday party for a mutual friend of ours. Brandy walked in. I was like, oh my God, that's the hottest girl I've ever seen. And luckily to me, I thought that she was the girlfriend of one of my other friends.
Okay.
I didn't realize, like, I hadn't seen these guys in a long time. So I was just being myself with no, like, friggin' like, type of it to it. And she saw the best side of me. If I had thought she was available, I would have screwed it up big time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So cultivating that, that attitude of like, oh, just, and the same thing with flirting.
Yeah.
Brandy and I were actually talking about this where guys screw up with the flirting. The flirting in a lot of ways, if you're a young guy and you're trying to figure out like how to flirt or talk to girls, so much of it is that honestly, the way you talk to girls shouldn't be any different than the way you talk to guys.
Yes.
You want to have fun. You just want to have a fun conversation. I'm just a guy that likes having a good time.
Yes.
I just want to, you know, like, you got to get your ulterior motives out of your brain.
Yes.
And,
And don't make the conversation all about yourself either.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Right. Unless you're telling her about your strategy for meeting chicks.
Oh, I'm Seth Pate. I like to ramble on and tell dumb jokes.
Can you hear how it is?
I mean, listen, that's true love right there.
She is.
That's
me.
It's true love.
The true thing is, she's like, yeah, that's exactly how he snookered me. I'm stuck with this buffoon because he played the game perfectly.
And the sad thing is, not sad because you're happily in your marriage here, but you didn't get to use that. You didn't get to use that tactic again.
No. You know I already knew the tactic.
Yeah.
I already, like, I'm a pretty good conversationalist.
Very
good. Like,
so
I was always able to, I was always to be hit out of my, I'll kick my coverage just by virtue of just kind of, you know, having conversations with girls and stuff. Let them get to know you a little bit, but without being like lustily doing it. But with her, like, she was so hot that I would have screwed it up. I would have been like, ah, crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
people texting in. Yeah, I know that it was Ronald Miller was the character on Can't Buy Me Love. Don't worry. I know. Thank you.
Who was the actor?
It was Patrick Dempsey.
He would go on to be a doctor in real life.
A doctor and a sex symbol, too, in real life.
Yeah.
He's
the doctor wasn't real life. That was ER.
Oh, yeah. No, Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. Oh, George Clooney was the hot doctor.
That's right. Got to have a hot doctor. All right.
You definitely had a softy, Jeff.
Into the 9 o'clock hour.
That wife of his.
We went a little over this segment, but I felt like that advice was important to get out there.
It's our service. That's how I do my monthly community service, my message for the young men out there.
Check it off. Yeah. Community service. Checked. All right. Most important matchup for the Texans to win this game this weekend. I've got one in mind. It's at the very, very top of the list. That's next.